360 Biz on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.
It is CliffCentral.com. My name is Deborah Mafodi. Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz. It is a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. You know that whenever you hear us on air, this is a show that brings you all things business. We bring in subject matter expert, we bring in regulators, we bring in industry champion, and most importantly, game changers of note week in, week out. If ever you want to catch on some of the shows that we've had in the weeks, you can always go to www.cliffcentral.com and go to Tuesday or to Wednesday and go to podcast. You'd actually get to see the tab 360 Biz and you'd get to listen to some of the shows that we had. Or you can download the Cliff Central app on your iPhone, on your Android device, and you can definitely get to be part of the show. We obviously definitely on social media, you can always follow us on at cliffcentral.com on Instagram, and Cliff Central page on Facebook, and it's at cliffcentral.com on Instagram as well. I'm not alone in studio. I'm with my boy Bulelani Bala. How are you, Fana?
I mean, I'm good, eh? I'm so excited. And it's so weird that I'm excited because I got a traffic fine driving here.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, for driving without a driver's license. But I'm excited.
But I saw your Insta live that you were being escorted by police officers with motorbikes. And I thought, oh, you're the VIP thing today.
Oh, well, I was tailgating. I was tailgating them in the morning. I was running late. First meeting in Sandton, 7 a.m. But I'm excited to be in studio today and talking about nation building. You know, we're I think I made a passing comment a little bit earlier on talking about how big I am and that I've been building a nation, that I'm now keen to build this nation.
Yeah, yeah. I think, Bulelani, before we talk about the issue of being a nation builder, are you a nation builder in your
personal? Nah, definitely, man. Definitely. I think it's important to be a nation builder and play an active role in building your community. I mean, I think for the past 3.5 years, we've been running initiatives in and around the townships and all over South Africa, and we've been able to impact over 5,500 township entrepreneurs.
Okay.
So you know this because I know you do a lot of work as well in the space, and you know, being able to impact people's lives is priceless.
Yeah, no, definitely. So you're saying you qualify as a nation builder?
No, definitely, man. Definitely. I think they need to bump the cheese up. Maybe, I don't know, 1.5. I'm kidding. A million, I'm kidding.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, that's the discussion that we're having today, that are you a nation builder? Are you a game changer in terms of, you know, being an entrepreneur? You know that even in this show, I think this is one of the biggest shows that we always discuss issues of entrepreneurship and nation building as a whole, because we're actually transforming people's lives week in, week out, talking about all things business. But however, there are as well other nation builders that are in a social space. You know, entrepreneurship, I always say there's different kinds of entrepreneurs. There's others that are in the social space. They're the likes of your Bulelani. Bulelani, you are a social entrepreneur, right?
Yeah, well, I think
you are both. We are actually both, because we're running a commercial business.
Commercial business and one that
and
is
impacting kind of business. No, definitely. I'm excited that even in last week on the show, we did say that we're going to be having Nation Builder in studio. Nation Builder together with the University of Stellenbosch Launch Lab and the Megan Group is inviting business pitches for their inaugural Social Innovation Challenge. The competition aims to identify and support South Africa's social entrepreneurs with an opportunity to win a share of 150,000 seed capital into your business. Entrepreneurs with a self-sustainable business idea, no matter how simple or small, that addresses particular social issues, positively impacts communities, empowers the disadvantaged, or has the potential to solve local problems in innovative ways. You are invited to enter the Social Innovation Challenge, where 10 finalists will receive an exposure to a broader network of business investors at the final pitching event, which will be hosted by Launch Lab in Stellenbosch on the 13th of June 2018. I mean, 3 final winners will receive their portion of the 150,000 funding capital, as well as a business support from Launch Lab themselves. I'm excited that in studio I'm gonna be sitting, or I'm sitting with Gwenda Lerange, who's the communication coordinator, and I'm sitting with Brandon Pascal, who's the head of incubation. And I know that online as well, we're gonna be joined by the executive director, Kerry McDonald. Kerry Lemark. It's actually her Skype handle. But this is a show that we're bringing you today. I'm actually excited. Without wasting any time, let me take this opportunity to actually welcome our guest in studio so that they can tell us who they are. And I'm thinking that these people are supposed to be in Cape Town, but hey, they are in Joburg and Pretoria. I guess they'll get to tell us why they're here. Let me take this opportunity. Are we doing ladies first, Brendan, or what are we doing?
Yeah, ladies first.
No, definitely. Gwenda, do you want to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are and what is that you do?
Hi, and thanks for having us here. I am the communications coordinator for Nation Builder. And do you want me to tell you about Nation Builder now?
Yeah, no, you can.
Okay, cool. Nation Builder is a not-for-profit organization.
Mm-hmm.
And our aim is to inspire and equip businesses to lead social change in South Africa. So we believe that business plays a key role in social change. They have a lot of funds. They are keen to be involved. And so Nation Builder provides them with resources, tools, a community to help them to do that in the best way possible so that their money makes the greatest impact.
Okay, so then tell me, are you in Joburg? Are you in Cape Town?
I'm actually in Pretoria.
You're actually in Pretoria?
Yes, but our head offices are in Stellenbosch.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay. Now, let me take this opportunity to welcome Brendan. Brendan, say hi to our listeners. Tell us who you are and what is it that you do.
Hey, awesome. Thanks for having us here. I run all of the startup related stuff with the Launch Lab down in Stellenbosch. We're the university's business incubator, but we run initiatives all over the country. So I just zoomed here from WITS. I think the event's still going on. We're working with the WITS Shimolakhong precinct also with a few different initiatives. But we run national things trying to promote entrepreneurship. Yes, we're based in Stellenbosch, but we have 70 businesses based all over the country.
Sure, 70 businesses.
Yeah.
7-0.
7-0, not 1-7.
Oh, okay.
And a 40-something of those are actually based in the Cape.
Is it?
Yeah.
So what kind of businesses are these?
Mostly high-tech stuff. Okay. So we started commercializing university technology.
Mm-hmm.
So you get this crazy engineering or some new agri-tech thing that comes out, and they say, here, Launch Lab, help us make money. And if the fees are going to fall, all of the universities have to have one of these TTOs,
true,
or tech transfer offices.
Yeah.
So if the fees are going to fall, we need to figure out how universities can actually make money from all this research and not just publish articles, but actually create businesses. And we have quite a few of those that are making some big waves. Like the shirt I'm wearing here, Kustos. No one can see it because we're on radio, but I'm wearing it.
No. We'll get to tweet the shit.
Yeah, but so, they these guys embed Bitcoin as a digital watermark in movie and ebook files to help prevent piracy. So that's the kind of high-tech stuff that we play with every day.
Wow. It's exciting, Bilalane. Eh?
That's amazing. So, I mean, obviously that's not visible to the human eye.
No.
Or is it?
But it is to a computer. Even if you if you're sitting there with your phone recording a movie and that movie you upload to Pirate Bay or BitTorrent, not that I know what those things are, but I've heard of them. I could see that with a certain package that Kustos has developed. I can see that it is infringed IP, and then we can prosecute the infringer of that and actually extract Bitcoin out of that movie file. And if I'm a pirate and I'm extracting the Bitcoin, I get paid, and then you as the content owner, you can then prosecute whoever it was that leaked it in the first place.
That's amazing. And when you talk about the fact that you guys work a lot with entrepreneurs in the tech space, are you finding a lot of great and amazing tech ideas in the country?
Yeah, like South Africa is actually pretty phenomenal with the amount of innovation in technology coming out. Do you know... So Amazon Web Services, kind of the start of cloud computing, was dreamed up in Cape Town. It's not an American or European thing. It's a Cape Town thing. It's a South African thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to get better at promoting our story. We have amazing stuff to talk about. We're doing amazing things. We just don't sell it very well. And that's as a foreigner that's been here for 13 years, I'm adopted South African. I'm an American African. And I see that often. We're not confident enough that we are world class. We are absolutely world class.
Okay, before we actually get into detail into into the world class stuff, let me take this opportunity to actually welcome Kerry McDonald, who's the executive director of Nation Builder. How are you, Kerry?
I'm well, thanks, and you? It's wonderful to be on your show.
No, good, thanks. Kerry, do you want to take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are and what is that you do?
Absolutely. So as Gwen told you guys, I am head of the Nation Builder Initiative. And what we do is we spend a lot of time with businesses, range from corporates to your medium to large businesses. We actually have such a great job. We spend time with people that are passionate about utilizing their business to make a difference in our country, be that with money, be it with skills, time. There's just so many clever ways that you can actually use what you do between 9 and 5 every day to make an impact on our country. So I think we have the best job. We get to spend time with incredible leaders, business leaders, and help them to leverage their passion to not only make money, but to make a difference.
Yeah. I mean, speaking about making a difference, I mean, Kerry, do you want to quickly tell us, I mean, Gwenda did touch base a bit on who Nation Builder is. Do you want to maybe go into detail and probably as well tell us how long have you been around? And what is it that you guys actually do specifically to, for, especially for small businesses and the likes?
Well, we're actually part of a bigger group called the Murgon Group. And we have an amazing story as a group itself, where we're an investment company. And we actually have 70% of our shares are held by our charitable foundation.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, we distribute funds to different not-for-profit organizations. We actually say partner rather, because we believe that it's a peer thing where you work together to have social change. So our foundation partners with different organizations in South Africa and up into Africa. Mm-hmm. Higher up in Africa, and then we are the third leg of the group, where we found many people coming to us because of our unique story and positioning, because our company is so philanthropically positioned and we have such an amazing purpose at the core of us. We find many business leaders coming to us asking for advice and insights on how to leverage that desire to use your business to make a difference. Very similarly to what our group has done, but everybody's story is going to look different. So we don't want to be a blueprint, but we were very excited to help people figure out how they can do it with their businesses. So Nation Builder was birthed 6 years ago in 2012. Out of that space of really wanting to support businesses, small and large, to really find that sweet spot on how to effectively deploy funds and skill sets and product to make a difference. So I think the one thing that we so often forget is that it seems like an easy job to distribute funds, but it's actually, if you're wanting to have an impact and you're wanting to see a sustainable impact, you actually have to think about it quite strategically. Mm-hmm. And that's our desire, is to see every rand and every hour spent wisely, so that we can ensure that we create the ripple of change that we want to see in our country.
Wow. No, it's actually a very interesting story that you, you've made mention of. So now, I mean, some of the resources, I mean, that I don't know whether this is going to be handled by you or by Gwenda here, in terms of some of the resources that you guys, you know, are having as now Nation Builder for the benefit of small businesses besides funding. What is it, Gwenda?
Well, we don't actually fund small businesses. Oh. We rather provide them with resources. So we have developed a couple of books that you can download, practical guidelines on how to do your social investment. So it will go through everything from purpose to your social investment team to rolling out your plans. And we actually get all this information from collabs that we do. So we invite experts in the field of social development. Mm. We invite people from that are on the ground working for not-for-profits. Mm-hmm. We get consultants, and then we sit around and chat with them, and we get ideas, and we sort of gather information from them, and then we put together resources that's sort of best practice resources for the companies. So then they can get these books free on our website, and there's workbooks that go with them to help them work through their social investment plan. We also have online tools, so it's there's a benchmarking tool as well as a health check.
Okay.
So companies can go on and also for free fill in this form, and then it will tell them sort of how they're doing in their social investment, whether their strategy is good, whether their partnership model is good, that kind of thing. And then it gives you real-time results and gives you suggestions on how you can improve. And Then we also have our community. So we have an online community, kind of like a sort of like a Facebook for business.
Oh, okay.
Where people can connect, share ideas, ask questions, that kind of thing. And we also have exclusive resources on that community for whoever wants to join. And then, yeah, blogs, articles by experts, podcasts, that kind of thing.
I mean, Kerry, before I get to Brandon, tell me, why specifically social entrepreneurs, though, as a focus?
Well, we believe that, some of the social challenges that we face in South Africa, we know are large. And some of the government's initiatives of wanting to increase employment and decrease unemployment in our country are essential, and we fully support our national development plan. And in order to achieve it, and actually part of the national development plan is to create a space where we can create jobs at the same time as addressing some of the social ills. So it's really one of the most effective ways and strategic ways to deploy any kind of support within to the into social development, if you want to call it that, is through social entrepreneurship. So just as you were talking about earlier before we joined you, social entrepreneurs are entrepreneurs. They have business ideas that generate profits and, mm-hmm. and make incomes and employ people. The only difference is that there's a social challenge that it's addressing at the same time. So it's not only generating income and stimulating the economy, which is always good for our country, but it is specifically addressing a social challenge like access to market that you were talking about, so that more people have access to the opportunities to generate a living for themselves and be employed.
So maybe let's Bulena, I think that Brandon, since he's the head of incubation,
I've got a couple of questions.
I know. No, do you want to hit on the first question or should
Brandon,
I? Good
man. I think maybe just to pick your brain on something. What's your views on possibly what you guys are doing different from other incubators that are out there, or rather, what makes you guys stand out? You know, from the rest.
Sure. No softball questions here.
Sorry.
You're not sticking to the script.
No. Unscripted.
I think one thing that helps us stand out from Stellenbosch is that we're backed by the most innovative university in the country. And so I say that in the last 9 years, Stellenbosch University has the most internationally recognized patents than any entity in the country.
So really?
Coming, yes.
Okay.
I can send you stats if you're interested. But since 2009, we have more globally recognized patents than any entity. That's including Sasol, CSIR, every other university in the country.
Wow.
So if you're leading in that kind of research and innovation, then you're going to have things that are interesting to commercialize. So building on that foundation, we just had a lot to start playing with. And then if you have all that high-tech innovation already, it's easy to commercialize things. So Kustos, their business is based on one of those patents. There's a lot of other things too. So building on that, it's easy to commercialize stuff that's that innovative, but then that's only 15% of the businesses we work with. Mm-hmm. So you get that critical mass and then you see all of the rest of this momentum building like, hey, these people, they look like me, they sound like me, let's build some businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And then that kind of launched into this movement, at least around Stellenbosch, of all of this startup activity. And so we recently received an award from University Business Incubators Global as the top one in Africa. So that was quite an achievement for us. You've never heard about UBI because you're not a University Business Incubator person.
Yeah.
But we've been recognized on the international stage as getting something right.
But you know the good thing about what you're saying, Brendan, is that right now you see you've become part of the family.
Yeah. I'm an American African.
Yeah. Like and now you're part of the Cliff Central family.
Mm.
So the beauty about that is that now when you're receiving these awards and these recognition, you're able to come to us and we're able to, you know what, amplify and celebrate you as well.
Absolutely.
Along other entrepreneurs. Because right now for me, I think it's something that as well Kerisha must bear in mind to say you guys are seeming to be doing something amazing. Do you understand? So that's why obviously this needs to be going to more people, needs to be going to the masses.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? So that we're able to impact more businesses. Because so that in order obviously for social entrepreneurs as a whole and entrepreneurs know about the value, I mean, of what you guys are doing as a nation builder, and how can they tap into, you know, the incubation that and the resources that you guys are supplying in terms of helping them. So, but anyway, without wasting time, Kerry, Social Innovation Challenge, how did that come about?
So the Social Innovation Challenge was really something to try and challenge mindset. So I think we obviously deal with lots of businesses. We have a big community of businesses that get together and chat through the things that hinder and help us, I suppose, in our development journey. Mm-hmm. And we so often find that we get boxed into what we know. Okay. So we know how to run businesses. And the moment somebody talks about social entrepreneurship, which is a big buzzword at the moment, it scares us as business leaders, because it feels like we have to shut down our business and start something totally new that is around veggie gardens or something like that. That's the mind frame that we have when we speak about social entrepreneurship. But that's not true. It's really just looking at our country's challenges from a different perspective and seeing them as opportunities where we can support and go in and actually create solutions. And that even equals having product ranges that will meet needs of certain income brackets or LSMs. So the Social Innovation Challenge was put out there because we're really excited to find those homegrown solutions where people have got incredible innovation. I think we so often look beyond our borders. We look across the oceans to other continents to see if their innovations will solve our problems. But yeah. Our challenges are unique, and South Africans are phenomenal people, and we have all the solutions here, we believe. So we're wanting to find those gold nuggets, those gems of ideas, and showcase them. So obviously it's a national competition. So across the country, we're wanting to find them so that we can showcase them and just start getting people to think differently about the way that we approach business in our country.
Mm. Yeah, no, I mean, you're raising a valid point. In terms of showcasing some of these businesses and the innovation, because right now, I mean, some of these businesses, I mean, for me, I think it's unfair that you find when you look at other countries, social innovation is something that is encouraged and it's something that is amplified. When you come to South Africa, tenderpreneurs are amplified.
That's true.
You know, and right now, I think, I don't know what you think, Bulela, in terms of what Nation Lab is doing.
No, man, I think I love it. But I mean, I'm a social entrepreneur. I'm thinking others are listening and they're itching. So they want to know, how do you get in?
Yeah. No.
How do I get my ideas to you guys? How do I apply?
I think that part is, it's very exciting. I think before we even get to that, maybe Brandon must tell us about Launch Lab. You know, then from there, I think you'd lead us obviously into how now people can actually getting into you know, applying and being part of this exciting initiative.
So at Launch Lab, we're all about facilitating valuable connections, and Nation Builder
you're gonna have to repeat that, Brandon.
Facilitating valuable connections.
Nice. Because like
the
it.
All the content, all these I was thinking I might have missed something in the last question. All these incubators around the country, there's a lot, right? And
there
I just
is.
Came from VITS and their Shimolohong precinct. They do the similar thing.
Yeah.
Content is free. You can read a book. Read the Lean Startup. It's not secret. Anyone can do that. Everyone knows about the business model canvas. The content isn't the thing. It's the connections with customers, investors, but also just connections between the entrepreneurs. I mean, the magic isn't reading and then doing and then turning in an assignment. It's we were running some programs recently and the five different businesses going through their week of engaging with customers out there in the world and coming back and saying, sharing with each other what we accomplished in the last week, what barriers did I have to overcome, and then what did I learn that I can go and do next week? It's really simple, but you get a cohort together of the right kind of entrepreneurs, and then the magic happens just in those conversations. And then I just kind of sit back and let that happen and they sort themselves out. So there's no magic in, I'm so clever, listen to what I say. Go out there and get it done. And we help people go out there and get it done. And if you need access to a customer or a client or a partner, that's where we come in. Nation Builder, their partner base is massive of large companies, Soho Sun, KPMG, Investec, Growthpoint, Attack, companies that are trying to do things better in the social investment space. And that network is what we want to connect the startups with. And we have our own partners slash clients, Nedbank, Santam, Mercedes-Benz, Attac, which is they built the Mall of Africa in Waterfall City. Mm-hmm. There's a few more coming on. We exist to connect startups with those entities to get access to market and access to funding. And yes, investors come around, but investors follow customers. So it's not about pitching to a VC. It's how can I get people paying me for the value I'm creating?
Lennon, who's paying you for the video creating?
Well, my clients, man. But I find it so interesting that you are able to build a system that allows the entrepreneurs to grow. Because I felt most of the time, and being an entrepreneur as well, was at some point caught up in an incubation process, that you feel like you are being, I don't know, smothered or mothered or whatever the case is. And when you are able to allow entrepreneurs to work amongst themselves and build their own their own way out or their own processes, then it makes it easier, because even when he leaves or she leaves, they're able to stand on their own 2 feet. So right. I like that model.
Mm. Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, Gwenda, tell me, according to you, what is social innovation?
Okay, well, I think we've already touched on it a little bit, but it's basically an original or innovative solution to a well-defined social problem. So poor access to quality education or healthcare or something like that. There's a problem in society, and then somebody comes up with a solution to that, but it's a business solution. It can make profit. It can be self-sustainable. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need... It's not a charity.
Yeah.
So it doesn't depend on investors to keep giving funding every month. It generates its own profit.
It's able to become sustainable. Yeah. You know why I'm asking you that? Because somebody will hear us busy saying social entrepreneurship, and they'll come as NPOs and as, do you understand? So that's why the reason I'm asking, so that obviously we put that emphasis, so that they know and understand, you know, the kind of what do we mean in terms of social innovation, the kind of social entrepreneurs that we're looking for. Because it's pointless coming here. The next thing, when we leave, we've got an influx of applications from NPOs and stuff. Do you understand?
Yeah. So we love what the NPOs do. They do amazing work. They're leading social change. They're doing really incredible stuff in South Africa. And we are very proud to be associated with a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
But funding keeps being cut to NPOs and NGOs.
That's true.
And so we need to come up with more sustainable solutions. We need to look to new ways to make sure that society doesn't suffer. So that's where the business side of things comes in. And so social entrepreneurs see society's problems as opportunities to create a business.
Is it? Kerry, I mean, why do you think social innovation angle is important in entrepreneurship conversations? So?
Yeah, I think it's very important to what Gwen said. I mean, I think not-for-profits, there may be many not-for-profits listening to this that might have social innovation ideas that want to sort of bring that kind of thought forward and enter into the competition. Because I find that as we deal with a lot of not-for-profits, there are incredible ideas out there. There's just not seed capital to assist in getting it off the ground. So I just wanted to quickly say, don't I think not-for-profits are welcome to be part of it, but just make sure that the idea is a sustainable one or a business model that you bring forward. But the reason behind the Social Innovation Challenge is really that, to find those solutions, and especially supporting... I don't know if you've heard about the sort of the triangle between government, business, and civil society working together to address our country's challenges.
Yes.
And I think this is such a nice way to do it, where we know that the government has an agenda to look at our social issues and try and address them. Mm-hmm. But it's important for business and civil society to work together with government.
True.
On this, it's essential for the three of us to work together, and this is a wonderful way to plug straight into that plan. You're sort of living in two worlds. You're addressing the civil society element, where you're dealing with the social element. You've got the business and sustainability element to your model, and then the dream and the hope is that we can actually get government to come and scale eventually. If there are some incredible ideas out there, I know that we have many great examples, even through our not-for-profits, where something has been created and formed, and then government comes along and actually scales it into something that can go national and can influence so many more lives. So it's almost social entrepreneurs are like the R&D unit, and then together with government, we can sometimes scale it to much bigger levels than we would ever be able to do by ourselves. So we're looking forward to that sort of triangle of collaboration where we really believe the sweet spot is for making a difference.
I love the fact that you've mentioned sweet spot. So I'm hoping that Brendan, in terms of with some of the Launch Lab case studies, will give us some of the sweet spots. Okay, Brendan?
You're going to have to limit me. I have quite a few.
Oh, okay.
I'm in my head thinking between two, and maybe the one I can do the quickest is this one. Mzansi Go is an Uber for moving trucks. And what's socially innovative about it is, so this guy got married. He was moving from one part of Cape Town to another. He goes to a light pole, and he needs a mover to move his bed and whatever. So he finds a number, calls the guy. I think, I forget the guy's name now. He was the first crew. He actually moved my wife and I the other day when we moved house. So he calls the guy. They book a move. He's a little bit suspect because there's no vetting process for this, and it's just random light pole. The guy comes, very professional. Loads the stuff well, doesn't break anything, and then takes it to the end, and they agreed on a price. And he was impressed by just the character of the entrepreneur. He was a owner of the truck, him and one other crew person. And he's asking the guy, like, do people pay you okay? Because this is a cash thing. And what happens? Like, do you always get paid? And he said, sometimes they want to negotiate me down from 500 to 300, and then I get the stuff to the place, and we unload it all. They're like, ish, I've only got 150. And then what do you do? Because there's no security in that. He's like, okay, let me build a Google form and people can email you or SMS and book time slots and whatever. And the owner of the truck said, cool. So the founder of Mzansi Go did that. And then that was last March, right? Mm-hmm. So a year later, that one crew is 20 crews. Wow. So 40 people now getting access to this, all owner operated. So the guys, it's like Uber, kind of. They own the truck. They employ one person to work with them. They do a lot of training and professionalism and taking care of people's stuff when you move it. It's a flat rate. So they you pay based on time and based on distance they have to travel, and just there's a per load price. So the guys, they're not having to figure out the petrol thing. That's worked into the price, not the time thing, so you can get more into a day. So those 20 crews on average have gone from doing 4 to 5 moves per week at $500 a pop to 3 or 4 per day.
Okay.
So do the maths yourself.
That's major growth.
Oh, it's major empowerment. Mm. Yes, it's growth, but those two people, instead of 2-5 per week that they're splitting 2-5 per day.
Sure.
And what does that do to kids' education and empowering other things and saving for retirement and investing and having side hustles? Like, you can do the imagining yourself what empowerment that creates. And that's one of a handful of things that we're working with. It's creating a massive social impact, but it is about making money and doing a business.
Wow.
No, man, I think I find it amazing because the whole premise around, and I've experienced this as well as an entrepreneur, how you are rendering a service, you are there to deliver, and you've delivered to spec, and they're just pushing you down. And I can imagine in that particular market and that particular space, there's nothing you can't do because you've already delivered the goods. And I think I've experienced a similar thing when I was speaking to a client just the other day, and being able to work on that. Well, they're in the beauty industry, but being able to solve that immediately, you know that the money is going to get deducted from the account, so there's no negotiating. So it's a very powerful model.
Yeah.
And I love how innovation has made life simple and has made us think out of the box, and how you are now able to. But the question I have then is, I love the growth and I love the impact. Are they only based in the Western Cape, or where?
Because it sounds like it's happening
it's
in
amazing.
The Cape Town.
Let me tell you the other one I was battling with. So three guys, I think two of them live in Alex, and they, one of our clients, Attack, that's also a Nation Builder member. Mm-hmm. We did a Smart Cities Challenge with them last year. So Gordon Dumasani and Lebohang had this idea of micro-jobbing, where if you need groceries, you don't have time, you go on their website, book a few things, then they have someone that goes, buys it, and then delivers it to your door, and they're working on a platform that facilitates that. So they're still in testing the market and getting feedback from customers, but they're working on the tech side now. We connect them to Attack that says, hey, we have tens of thousands of people living in our waterfall city. don't you want to test it here? And they said, sure. So these three guys, they're there getting feedback from that market, and it's micro-jobbing. So it's people that have spare time, spare capacity, that can provide a service for people. And one of the interesting things, too, so it's three young African guys, and one of their success stories so far is a 60-year-old white lady named Mrs. Cindy, who's very happy to pay these guys to deliver groceries to her door. Mm. Like, that's the kind of story we need to talk about. Hmm. It's a fascinating, it's an empowering story, and we've connected them to Vits Shimolakong. They're working from that space. We're working with them, working on the business model, connecting them to Attack. Like, that's just an awesome story, and we've been able to promote those guys who are really hustling, really resourceful, very humble, very teachable in how to go about it. And two, they're empowering other people with micro jobs to students earning pocket money. And I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I love the fact that you've said these are the stories that we need to be talking about. I mean, Kerry, more than anything, do you see, though, the importance of sharing these stories with the world?
Absolutely. I think that's one of the biggest things that, it's something that we're really passionate about at Nation Builder is about stories of hope. Our country is such a beautiful place, not only in mountains and seas and you know, landscapes. It's in people and in ideas and innovation. And we need to celebrate that more. So it's so important for us to get the good news out and get the great stories out there. That I think our media so often focuses on the negatives and on the things that aren't working, but there's so much that is working. And we're very passionate about telling those stories.
Not this media, not Cliff Central.
You hired.
Yeah, no, definitely. And one thing you've said, Kerry, I think I want to pose a challenge to say, I mean, after this competition campaign, maybe let's have a sit down and let's talk about how can we share these stories going forward. Do you understand? And right now, because we've been the game changer in terms of releasing some of these stories, and let everyone else pick it up from what we've built. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. Let everyone pick up from what we've shared so that there's interest, and so that at the end of the day, it's able to become an extended platform to some of these businesses that you guys are making a difference from. Are you up for the challenge?
That would be wonderful. We're totally up for that challenge.
No, definitely. even Gwenda is showing me a thumbs up and so that it's actually excellent. Gwenda, coming to you, do you want to perhaps answer the question that my colleague Bulelani had in terms of who needs to enter this challenge and how do they go about getting their ideas to you?
We are so excited about this challenge. So anybody who has an idea, a business idea that addresses a social problem, so like we discussed earlier, it doesn't have to be a massive solution. It can be something small. They need to send a 3-minute video. It can just be a cell phone video to the Launch Lab. So if you go on Nation Builder's website, which is proudnationbuilder.co.za, there's the link to the Launch Lab website, and basically you send in a 3-minute video explaining your idea. If you go on the website, there's a little bit of criteria of what sort of things you should address. Mm-hmm. But yeah, basically a 3-minute video, send it in by the 11th of May, and then we're going to whittle it down to the top 10. And then those top 10 are going to be showcasing an event at the Launch Lab in Stellenbosch in June.
So you're going to be flying them down there?
Yes. So the top 10, we will cover their costs to go to Stellenbosch, to stay there. And then there's going to be a panel of business people, entrepreneurs, all sorts of experts. And they are going to listen to these top 10 ideas and then pick 3, and the top 3 are going to get their share of the 150,000 rand seed capital, as well as obviously assistance from the Launch Lab incubation. And then also Nation Builder has a conference once a year in August where we have all the CEOs of businesses that want to make a difference. So it's like those businesses that Brandon mentioned, the Tsogosan, the Attacks, the Atterbury's, and all these kinds of businesses. So the winner will be given opportunity to present his business idea to all to these CEOs businesses at our conference.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. Give us the URL quickly again. You said the URL of where they can enter is?
Okay. Well, you can go to Proud Nation Builder.
Proudnationbuilder.co.za.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a clear link from there to the Launch Lab website.
Okay.
Can I give you the Launch Lab website too?
Yeah, please do.
So it's Launch Lab, L-A, launch like a rocket, L-A-U-N-C-H, lab, mm-hmm. L-A-B, .co.za/nationbuilder2018. Because we're hoping there's going to be a 19 and 20 and 30.
Is it, can you give it to us again?
launchlab.co.za/nationbuilder2018.
No, definitely. Kerry, I'm coming to you. Why the videos to start? And another thing, who will be choosing these finalists? And what are they going to be looking for in these pitches?
So I think a 2-minute video, it's really short. So it makes sure that the person that puts it together has thought about a very quick elevator pitch, quite a concise idea that they're wanting to bring. And hopefully it gives us a good enough idea so that we think that it's a great idea and put them into the top 10. So a video is just the easiest way to put your plan forward in a quick and manageable way. Secondly, the panelists, there's first a screening process that Launch Lab and a team that we've put together internally will be screening all the entries that come in and selecting, I think it's about 30 participants, mm-hmm. and they will be going through a process with Launch Lab that they go through with everybody, which I'm sure Brandon will explain more on. Okay. And then there's the 10 finalists on the night. So it's a really nice evening event on the 13th of June. And the panelists will be flying from all around the country. So we have people from KZN, Gauteng, Western Cape. Our panel is made up of serial entrepreneurs that have done exceptionally well, of investment, so people that actually invest in different kinds of companies, so people that are in the financial sector. And then we have a couple of people that are specialists in enterprise development and social innovation. So a nice cross-section from academia to practical understanding to practically doing it yourself. So they will be able to really ask hard questions on the night to the participants, mm-hmm. and I'm sure come up with the best top 3 winners.
I mean, Kerry, I'm going to ask you to actually name drop one or two people from these panelists, because I'm not, my name is not there. I'm not on the list. And I'm a serial entrepreneur.
Are you wanting to be on the list?
Why not?
So we have Sean Tennyson from GrowthPoint. He's on the executive board of GrowthPoint, and he heads up all their corporate social responsibility work.
Sean, we've had him on the show as well.
Which is their enterprise development at GrowthPoint.
Yeah.
Then we also have Darlene Menzies. She's a serial entrepreneur. She actually heads up the business chamber in KwaZulu-Natal. And she's won many awards for her SME entrepreneurial enterprises that she started. So she's a phenomenal serial entrepreneur. And then we have another one is Sepo Ntlamele from F&B. He's also part of the enterprise development leg of F&B. So he looks at all the ways that F&B can invest in sort of smaller enterprises, mm-hmm. to stimulate the economy. And then we have a couple of others that aren't 100% confirmed, but they're mainly from your private equity spheres, very top influential executives from your private equity firms. So I don't want to give those away yet until I have 100% yes from them. I have I've in principle yeses so far.
Yeah. Kerry, do you know the song Google Me Baby? Google Me Baby, do you know the song? Yeah. So I'll say that to you. You Google me while I speak to Brendan, then we shall speak. Brendan, tell me. What can the top 10 finalists expect at the pitching event on the 13th of June?
What can they expect?
Yes,
being fascinated. First of all,
okay.
So it's every time we do one of these things, I'm reminded of why I got into this in the first place.
That is important.
Because it's exciting. And you get up there and it's like, why is the whole of the country not watching what's happening,
yes.
with this thing right now? So what happens is the entrepreneurs, they get up there. We've got their 3-minute video. We do a bit of polishing to make it presentable so that they're on the stage in front of these executives.
Yeah.
They kind of have a bit of presentation skill.
Mm-hmm.
They get 4 minutes to pitch, and behind them, There's a countdown clock that's counting down. They can't see it, but everyone in the audience and the judges can see it. So a little bit of drama. Cut them off hard at the end of 4 minutes, then 4 minutes of Q&A from the judges.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 of them go through on a night that same process. And then on the night, we're aiming to select three winners that get some cash and support from us. Hmm. And there's food and music, and it's always a very exciting
time. It's a party.
It was actually going to be my next question to Kerry as to what are some of the fun ideas that's going to be happening on the evening?
Some of the fun ideas on the evening. Mm. I mean, we had an idea that maybe everybody should bring a suitcase full of money, and then, you know, if you like an idea, you can just hand over the suitcase. Mm. But then we decided that might be a bit of a security risk.
I'm in Stellenbosch. I'll fly myself.
For that suitcase, right?
No, you need to bring the suitcase. You're a serial entrepreneur.
Yeah, and some more ideas.
So on the evening, it's really going to be, I think there's some surprises for the evening. I don't want to give too much away. We might have some businesses that are there looking for other investment opportunities that you never know. Somebody could put up their hand and surprisingly put down an investment if there's something that catches their eye. But I don't want to give too much away or create too much expectation because it all depends on the types of businesses that pitch on the evening. So let's hope we have some killer ideas, because then we're going to have lots of fun.
Yeah, no, definitely. It looks like we are going to have some fun. We're going to be turning up for business. And mainly, Gwenda, what price is being issued on the day in terms of the top three winners?
Okay, so there's 150,000 rand seed capital.
Okay.
That'll be shared amongst them. And then obviously the business support from Launch Lab. So Launch Lab is going to provide all their services to help them polish their idea, think through everything, and come up with the best way forward.
Mm.
And then, like I said, they will also be exposed to all our networks at the event and then at the conference and on all our social media platforms and stuff. So it's basically a sort of they get marketing from us.
Mm. So then, I mean, here I see it says the three final winners will receive their portion of 150. Their portion. This way, they are pushing. So, so I'm trying to understand. So, is it 150 split between three people?
Yes.
And how much is split on the third runner up, second runner up, and the main winner? How? Maybe Kerry, you can jump in on this one.
Have to.
So the winner will get 75,000 rand.
Okay.
And then there's a 50 and a 25.
Oh, okay. I was already calculating and doing auditing. Says it does it make 150 there, or Gwenda is keeping 10 rents or something.
To put it in perspective,
yeah,
we normally cap it at 20. So 75 and 50 and 25, that's a lot of money.
It is.
And in particular, South African startups, they're very resourceful. 75 and 50 will go a long way to testing the market and seeing what they can do.
Yeah, no, definitely. Brandon, while you're on the issue, do you want to elaborate a bit on the business support that the winners can expect? I mean, besides the great boost in terms of seed capital?
Yeah, so our programs, we have two formal things. One is a kind of a lean startup methodology with that process I described earlier of what did you do last week? What barriers? What are we going to do next week? And 3 months of that until you have an MVP or a minimum viable product that someone is paying you for delivering a service. Maybe you haven't built technology. The solution is not an app. So everyone listening out there, do not build an app. Make sure there's a business that an app could facilitate first.
Okay.
And then if there is something, then we can look at the technology. After that lean startup kind of thing, we've built a program that's modeled to Knife Capital, one of the top VCs in the country. We've basically built a program that helps you build out your data room, which is all the documentation and controls and governance to match their due diligence checklist. So you have the product, you have the business. Okay, cool. Now, what are all the different things on the legal, the finance, the strategy, the forward-looking stuff, the governance and controls that you need to be able to take on more investment funding or an RFP? If you've ever had to submit an RFP document. They're looking for the due diligence stuff.
Okay.
So it's building out all that you need. We don't do it for them. They mm-hmm. have to do it. Like you were saying, no mothering and smothering. Yeah. We don't do that. Here's the templates. Here's the content. Here's the tools. Now go and do it. And we'll introduce you to lawyers and IP people and finance people if you need that kind of help.
Wow. No, I like that. So, I mean, Kerry, tell me then what else should we be looking forward to in terms of Nation Builder for the rest of the year?
Yeah, we're really excited. Later on in the year, we're going to be doing our annual conference, and we do one every year. This is our fourth one. And as we said earlier, the winner from this innovation challenge will be speaking at the conference. So that's really exciting. Mm-hmm. And the theme for this year is South Africa Matters. So that's obviously a play on words that we matter. But also we're talking about things related to South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole day is going to be focused around social innovation, really. So we're going to start the morning off looking at the big context as to why it is important to even address your social development efforts when you look at them, looking at them through a social innovation lens. And then we're going to have some social innovation examples. So there's good news stories that you were talking about. Maybe you can come and get some of those stories at the conference.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And that'll be throughout most of the day. And then the conference ends off with us looking into the future. So where could social innovation take us as a country, our local homegrown solutions? So a jam-packed day. Not long and boring speakers, upbeat, fun, innovative speakers, and we always have live entertainment. So Majorzy has performed at every single conference, and we love him to bits. And Michael Moll is our MC, so he definitely makes the day enjoyable and interactive. So a great day ahead of us.
Gwenda, do you want to give us some of the conference details?
Sure. It's going to be on the 21st of August.
Mm-hmm.
In Lynnwood, Pretoria.
Mm-hmm.
So it's at the Atterbury Theatre, which is a great venue. And like Kerry said, it's going to be a lot about innovation, and that the fact that social innovation isn't dominated by international players anymore. Like, South Africa has got amazing stories, and we want to tell those stories and inspire businesses to look at new ways of doing their business and uplifting society. So yeah, you can also we're in the process of setting up the website, but within the week it's going to be there, so you can start registering on proudnationbuilder.co.za for the conference. So yep.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So, you can come do a live show from our conference.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it would be exciting to interview some of the guests as well. On the live show that are attending the event to actually give us their experience, you know, as to how has been and what is their experience on the event. We'll definitely be honored to come do a live broadcast on the event there itself. So Kerry, so now the website detail is gonna be a Proud Nation
Builder.
Proud Builder.
Proud Nation Builder.
Proud Nation Builder. That's the website where people are going to be getting all the information.
Yep.
And just click on events. So under events, you'll see Conference 2018.
Yeah. Okay. No, definitely.
And if you want to have a look at last year's highlights, we've got some phenomenal things you can have a look at from last year.
No, we'll definitely go check it out myself as well. I mean, Brendan, quickly, how can business get involved with Lunch Lab?
We have a form on the website, but avoid that. Just email me, Brandon, at LaunchLab, Brandon at launchlab.co.za. That's if you're looking to partner with startups. If you're a startup, you have to go through the process, fill out the form. It's on that launchlab.co.za/nationbuilder2018. We need all that info so we can actually capture things properly and communicate with the entrepreneurs.
No, definitely. Kerry, people that want to be involved with Nation Builder?
Yeah, if you'd like to get hold of Nation Builder, you obviously are welcome to go to our website and have a look. But you can also contact us on email at nationbuilder@mergon.co.za. Or you can contact one of us directly. It's just our names at mergon.co.za. So Gwenda@mergon or Kerry-Lee@mergon.
Okay. Do you want to spell the Mergon for me?
Yes, Mergon is MERGON.
Oh, okay. You said so, you okay. Oh, sorry. Continue.
No, I was just going to repeat. It's Nation Builder at Mergon MERGON.co.za.
Oh. We're also obviously on social media. So people can find us on Facebook, Proud Nation Builder, and on Twitter, Build SA.
Oh, okay. Build SA. Mm-hmm. Okay. No, definitely. Let me take this opportunity to thank you, all of you, Kerry, Brendan, Gwenda, for joining us on the show. I think you wouldn't have chosen a better partner and family to partner with in terms of amplifying some of the good work that you do. I'm very excited about some of the stuff that I think we're still set to do for the rest of the year. More than anything, I just want to appreciate you. And Bulelane?
I don't know. I think I want to apply, but I don't think I meet the criteria.
Do it.
I'm sure take you do.
So you want to take a chance? Yeah. Okay.
No. The competition SIF, there's already 111 signed up. Well, that was this morning. I don't know how many there are now.
Wow. No, definitely. But more than anything, we always close off the show in style, Kerry. And there's somebody that is on the verge of giving up. With your 30-second word of inspiration to them, what would you say?
Sure, I think every step you take makes a difference. So just keep walking ahead and you're going to influence the lives around you. Every person makes a difference.
Every person makes a difference. Brendan, the word, 30 seconds of inspiration to somebody that's listening?
Just do it. Just get things done.
Now can't say anything.
Like,
you're going to have to find something else to do.
I'm inspired by the hat here. It's just do it. Don't think, don't talk, don't. Ideas are worth nothing. Execution is everything.
That's true.
Mm. Gwenda?
I would have to say, don't try to do things alone. We always do things better when we do it together.
You had too much time to think.
She had enough time.
That's not fair.
That sounds so good, eh?
Yeah.
Get things done. Get things done.
Oh, okay. Get things done. My name is Debo Homafodi. This is all that we had for you today on 360 Biz. Catch us again for another exciting installment of 360 Biz next week. Same time, same place. And most definitely, do go to Nation Builder and go to the Launch Lab and get to be part of this exciting competition and initiative that is actually taking place. Remember that the competition aims at IDEA and supporting South African social entrepreneurs to get a share of 150,000. We're looking forward to actually going to be interviewing you in studio and seeing you as competition goes. Catch us again next time for another exciting installment of 360 Biz. My name is Debo Homafodi and Bulelane Balabala. We out.
360 Biz on cliffcentral.com.